Hey there, this is Pastor Bill bringing you News in Focus. This one is from Yahoo.com and or news.yahoo.com, and it is posted September the 8th. Pope Francis announces most radical annulment reforms in centuries. So let's just say that when it comes to the Catholic Church, your marriage has to be both recognized by the Catholic Church, and annulments or divorces have to be likewise confirmed or approved by the Catholic Church in order to marry again. In order to be considered in the graces of the Catholic Church, they have to give you an annulment. And for those of you who are not aware, the Catholic Church typically is pretty stringent on how they deal with annulments. And surprisingly so. So let's get into this. Pope Francis on Tuesday announced some of the biggest changes to law surrounding marriage and annulments in the Roman Catholic Church since the mid-1700s. The Vatican on Tuesday announced the most radical reforms to Roman Catholic marriage and annulment procedures in centuries. In two documents titled The Lord Jesus, the Gentle Judge, and The Meek and Merciful Jesus, Pope Francis reaffirmed the traditional church teaching on the indissolubility of the sacred bond of marriage, but simplified the process of annulment, which many have for years considered cumbersome, costly, and out of reach for most Catholics. The Pope's announcement comes about a year after he commissioned a study of the best ways to speed up the annulment process and make it more accessible, so that Catholics who sought annulments could find justice. About 250 years since the last substantive changes to the annulment law were made. The new rules are also the latest of Pope Francis' efforts to promote a more pastoral tone on issues that pit conservative Catholic traditions against a shifting global culture. Just last week, he authorized Roman Catholic priests worldwide to offer reconciliation and forgiveness to women who have had abortions. Although Catholic teaching condemns this, it's in the strongest terms, Francis has often emphasized compassion and the need for the Church to continue to minister to those Catholics who may not measure up to its moral teaching, says the Christian Science Monitor's Harry Bruinus. The new rules eliminate a previously mandatory automatic review of an annulment decision by a second diocesan tribunal and cuts the cost of the procedures, which can command thousands of dollars in legal and tribunal fees. The Pope also gave bishops sweeping powers to judge the most simple and clear-cut cases themselves, in a measure that aims to provide Catholic couples in poorer parts of the world with paths to annulments. At the crux of the Pope's decision is the changing sentiment, especially among Western Catholics, around the controversial issues such as divorce. The 1.2 billion member Catholic Church does not recognize divorce, but does allow for a degree of nullity, a ruling that a marriage was never valid in the first place according to church law because preconditions such as free will, psychological maturity, and willingness to have children were not met. All right, so here's the deal. If you have had the boxes checked, so to speak, for a real marriage from the Catholic Church's perspective, you're probably not going to be granted an annulment. But, as it says here, if your spouse has never met the preconditions, like a desire to marry you, or psychological maturity, or not willing to have children, well then the Catholic Church can just decide that your marriage really never happened. Catholics who choose to separate and remarry outside the Church are still considered married to their first spouses and are thus living in sin and prohibited from receiving sacraments such as communion, a critical part of active Catholic life. It's actually more than that. It is actually a means to saving grace. When a person, specifically a Catholic, says that they are saved by faith in the blood of Jesus, they are speaking specifically about the juice that is ingested, that it becomes the blood of Christ from their perspective. So you can't take communion, you can't get grace because you can't drink the juice, and you are thereby probably condemned. In any case, you're going to purgatory over a longer amount of time. In the U.S., 62% of Catholics said the Church should allow divorced Catholics to divorce and remarry without an annulment to receive communion, according to recent Pew Research. Well, of course they do, but who gives a rip? And I guess this is really the issue when it comes to, say, Mormonism, for example, that we were reading yesterday in World Religions class, it's right there on a recording, you can see it on sermon audio, where, in 1850s, Brigham Young says God will never remove the curse from the black man. Never. And they will not be able to serve in the temple. Ever. But in 1978, the president of the Mormon Church says that he got a new revelation from God, and it came up in an interview with Mitt Romney. In 1978, the Mormons said, well, we have a new word from God. Right. And it was because you wanted a greater acceptance with the population. 1890, same deal. Why did the president of the Mormon Church then outlaw polygamy? Why did he do it? Well, because they were going to lose their land if they didn't. So I don't have a whole lot of respect for a religion of 1.2 billion that says the reason we're changing this is because, well, everyone wants us to. I thought God was God and God sets the rules and the church was supposed to be a reflection of what God says. But it's a tyranny, really. And this is the typical Francis move in that way. Chad Pecknold, a theologian at Catholic University in Washington, told the Washington Post, after the Pope empowered priests to forgive those who have had abortions but were truly repentant, this is a dead serious sin, but I'm not going to emphasize the sin part. Others, however, feel the Pope is taking current context into consideration when he interprets church teachings and traditions. A stance may resonate for many Catholics struggling to find balance between life and faith. And again, I'm not surprised that a Christian Science author is writing this. I am, however, a little concerned about the fact that, well, no, I mean, I guess it's another feather in the cap for biblicistism. Biblicism. Bible-believing-ism. How unfortunate indeed that we're dealing here with a church, an organization that says they're a reflection of the Lord, and yet they're going to change their rules to fit the context of the culture. Now, if context of the culture tells you that you at least need to sit back and reconsider what God says about a fact, fine. But what does it say about 250 years ago when people were still being ungodly and still adulterating and still spouse hopping? There were still cultural considerations then as well. Are we to say that 300 years ago, if I'm a Catholic today, am I supposed to say 300 years ago my church forefathers were in the dark more than today's changing culture? There's serious problems with this, and every other person who says they're a part of a God-ordained institution that keeps changing its mind. So anyway, here's what another says. Darcy Fargo, who returned to Catholicism a few months ago after years away from her childhood faith, she told the Monitor, "I think Pope Francis is better at stressing forgiveness and softening the perception of an all-or-nothing attitude towards Catholicism." In other words, it's just too big of a step for normal people to be Catholic. All of a sudden, you can't divorce your spouse, you can't be forgiven if you committed murder through abortion. And, you know, I suppose that's a realistic thing for Bible believers to consider. Anyway, oftentimes it's an either-or world we live in, but I don't believe our God is like that. I don't believe our faith is like that. Well, I don't think that you're qualified to say what God is like since you haven't been a Catholic for more than a few months, okay? A child, and then years away, and then you've been back for a few months. Do you think that I think that what you say about marriage or faith or Catholicism is binding? How in the world are you going to say that, okay? So you have a right to say that. You're an American. This person who wrote this article probably asked you. But here's a greater irony than all this. How about this? 1 Timothy 4:1-3. "The Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth." So here you go now. You have a Catholic Church that doesn't command you to stay celibate if you're a priest or if you're a nun. It doesn't command you that you have to stay from certain meat during Lent, but you're not a good Catholic. You're not a good Catholic if you decide that you're going to eat something besides fish leading up to Lent, which apparently somehow is not meat. And furthermore, you're not a good, you can't be a priest or a nun if you want to not take the vow of celibacy. So I think it's just ironic that you have a pope who says that he has never been married and won't allow other priests to be married, but they're going to talk about and make rules about marriage. Very, very interesting indeed. It's a little ironic. It's just a little ironic. Well, a changing culture, changing religion, that's a pair that is destined for destruction and I think spawned in the pit of hell. If you want something that's true, find a historic faith that's always been what it has been. Should shock you. Might shock you if you do a little research to find out that you have a church, a Roman Catholic church, that did not have celibate priests for hundreds of years after it supposedly started. So, anyway, if it's true today, it's probably been true for a while, folks. This is Pastor Bill. Thanks for listening.